Jesus.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't it a privilege to be able to be a part of the work of God? Hallelujah. God wants to use every young person that's in this building tonight. And to think that God would allow us to partner with Him and be a part of His work in His kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 26 and verse 14. Exodus chapter 26 and verse 14. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of round skin dyed red, and a covering above of badger skin. The tent shall have a covering, and the covering above is going to be a badger skin. And then Isaiah chapter 52. And verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. I don't believe that the Bible exaggerates when it makes a statement. His very image was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. Chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Who in the world is going to believe our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who in the world is going to believe that this is He that is to come? And then it describes a man that was so misshaped. And deformed and marred. Nothing to be desired. A Lord, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for your word. We pray that you would please help us tonight, God. We need the help of the Lord in this place. For the next few moments, God, on this last night that is so important, pray that you would help me to be able to reach the hearts of every young person that's here tonight, God, of every man and woman that's here tonight, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you've allowed us to be a part of something so great and wonderful and good as your wonderful church that you purchased with your own blood. Pray, God, that you would speak to us and touch us and help us tonight, God. And let your will be done tonight. Hallelujah. Give me the words to say. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Let somebody see Jesus tonight. Let someone see Jesus tonight in this place. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me tonight one more time? Pray for me tonight. Pray that we could hear the will of God tonight in this place. We love you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Exodus 26 and verse 14 speaks of the tabernacle and says that it was covered with badger skin. I'm going to preach tonight by the help of the Lord, the other side of ugly. The other side of ugly. You can be seated tonight. If we could go back tonight to Israel's wilderness experience, as they made their journey through the wilderness for 40 years, we could see them situated there in that desert. Some way we could be able to look over the camp of Israel from the vantage point of some distant hill. We would see over this vast expanse of barren desert several million peoples. We would quickly recognize their tents so well organized and a formation of carefully arranged rows. Along those rows, ever so often, we would see a way wide enough for people to assemble into that area and make a journey down to the tabernacle that was in the exact center of all those tents. The tabernacle was the center of all things. You could just quickly look and recognize that all the tents were so in a beautiful formation, and they seemed to create like a sunburst from the center attraction, which was a tent covered with badger skin. God had given them a law and showed each and every tribe exactly where they were to situate their tents and the tabernacle in the center. It was the center of their life. Their whole life revolved around the prophet Moses and the man of God, Aaron, and the worship of their God. I believe everything still needs to revolve around the house of God and God and the man of God and the things of God. I believe that if God is not the center of our life, then there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with our priorities in life. Everything ought to radiate out from the tabernacle, the house of the Lord. And there were times when they would just settle down for a few days, and the pillar of fire would rest over that tent. And no doubt it was quite a community to witness. Children playing, literally by the thousands of them. It was quite a society. I can remember as a boy in our neighborhood having just a handful of friends and trying to play a baseball game or a football game, and the fun that we had with those that were available to play. But in this gathering, there were literally thousands of these children playing among the tents. There were also many animals, and there was a noise of such a great host.
In those days, there were no false gods. They all believed in the one true and living God. Hallelujah. They recognized that the Lord God Jehovah was their God. There wasn't good people over here and bad people over there, but they were all followers of the Lord God Almighty. And as long as their thinking was right in their minds, it was a glorious, beautiful situation. But had we focused on the center of that vast expanse of people, with their tents so orderly arranged and their fellowship so beautifully apparent, and to behold their lives and the excitement of, and all that was going on, what was situated in the center of their very lives would probably have not inspired us in the least. In all likelihood, it would have no doubt turned us off and maybe even made us sick at our stomachs. Because in the midst of all the gaiety and the happiness and all the organization and beauty of the tents lined up row by row, we would have to look toward the center of all the going-ons. And we would be able to see smoke billowing up. And in the air, you could smell the stench of sacrificial animals and the stench of blood in the air. I can remember to this day preaching revivals in the valley. And there's a certain area on the 99 that you go through a part of the country where they have slaughterhouses. And we used to hold our breath as we would go through there on the highways because of, you could smell the stench of blood and the dying animals in the air. And so in the very middle of this society of people, there was situated this tent that was covered with badger skin. And the old badger skin flapping in the wind, this bleak grayish covering covered the tabernacle of the Lord. It was a tabernacle that in years to come would be known as the tabernacle of the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. It was ugly and it was drab, the covering, and the external part of that tabernacle was to be likened unto the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of its ugliness and all of its lack of appeal was to symbolize the house that God Almighty would someday choose to live in when He came to reveal Himself to this world. The badger skin covering, although it was ugly and bleak, it sort of blended in with the desert and the ugliness of the desert. Now, when we think of something that is the center of our life, we usually think of something that is good, something that is beautiful, something that we can be proud of, and something that maybe we would count as highly valuable in our life. In the center of most cities and towns, especially in the South, right in the middle of town, there will be many times the most beautiful structure in that part of the country. Hallelujah. It will be the courthouse, and it will be built, and it will be ornate, and it will be carefully designed, and the architectural work will be appealing to the eye. And in these towns, when they get ready to build this courthouse, they want to build something that is going to represent what the people are all about and what that part of the country is all about. It becomes kind of like the centerpiece of that part of the country. And as we look at these millions of people scattered across the desert, numbering in the millions, about the size of the metro area of Atlanta, Georgia, in the midst of all of this, you would expect something that would be ornate. You would expect something that would be beautiful. Maybe some beautiful stained glass structure or some ornate monument. But no, that's not what we see in the midst of this gathering of people. We see an old tent that is covered with bleak grass covering badger skin. Hallelujah. So you would maybe wonder with the people that when they marched out of Egypt, they had so spoiled them and had taken the wealth of Egypt with them. You would expect something different than something so ugly in the very middle of their camp. Hallelujah. You know, when you step in a beautiful house and maybe someone is giving you the grand tour, and you go into the dining room area and you see a beautiful dining table there and maybe a chandelier hanging over the table. You don't expect to look in that dining room and see in the middle of the dining table a garbage can. Hallelujah. What you expect to see is maybe a beautiful arrangement of fresh flowers or some ornate fixture that is the centerpiece to set off the whole room. But why in the world would a people make all this ugliness their very centerpiece? Hallelujah. They came out of Egypt and they had enough jewels and they had enough possessions to make a whole golden calf to worship around and to lift their hands and clap their hands to. Hallelujah. But why all of this ugliness in the middle of town? Hallelujah. Why didn't they try to decorate this tent? Why didn't they try to make it beautiful? So immediately we would be turned off and we would question their wisdom and we would wonder about people like this and how smart they really are. Hallelujah. But for the stranger that would pass by and maybe make fun of that tent and make fun of the ugliness of the place that they call church. Hallelujah. Oh, they did not understand that there was something beyond. Hallelujah. The first thing that the human eye would look at when they looked at this badger-skinned covered tent. Hallelujah. We find out that there was something beyond the veil. Hallelujah. There was something on the other side of ugly. Hallelujah. Once a person could get beyond the badger skin. Hallelujah. We would see some of the most beautiful ornate design figurines that man would ever have the privilege to behold. Hallelujah. Men with old talent on loan from God. Hallelujah. Had been able to fashion the beautiful pieces of furniture that was inside this tent. Men that were naturally gifted, God enabled them with supernatural anointing. Hallelujah. To make some of the most beautiful things that probably human eyes had ever looked upon. The golden candlesticks and the images of angels that were beat out of a piece of solid gold. And they covered the Ark of the Covenant. And one beautiful piece of furniture after the other that was made, hallelujah, in honor of the glory of God and the power of God. But I want to tell you the most beautiful thing that was inside that tabernacle was not the furniture. It was not the gold. And it was not those precious things and the different colored draperies, hallelujah, and the things that hung from the ceiling. But the most beautiful thing about that old badger skin tent that probably a lot of people made fun of and they didn't see anything appealing about it. The most beautiful thing inside that tabernacle was the cloud of the glory and the power of God Almighty. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So what we really see there in the middle of town, hallelujah, was something that appeared ugly to the human eye, but was unbelievably beautiful on the inside. Hallelujah. Following this train of reasoning through the word of the Lord, we come to the book of Isaiah. And we come to the prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That man that the tabernacle was a type and a shadow of. Isaiah tells us in chapters 52 and 53 that Jesus Christ was a ugly man. Hallelujah. He had no comeliness about him. There was no beauty about him. The Bible lets us know that when you looked at him, there was nothing, absolutely nothing that would cause you to desire him. He so housed himself, hallelujah, in a body that was so unappealing, hallelujah, for the natural man to just look and behold him. There was nothing desirable about him. And then in the 53rd chapter, it starts out with this: who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In other words, who in the world is ever going to figure out, hallelujah, that the God of glory, the God that spoke the world into existence and hung the stars on nothing, has chosen to house himself in the work clothes, hallelujah, the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He goes on to say, for he shall grow up as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Have you ever seen an old root that was half pulled up, hallelujah, out of the ground? I built a house a while back, and we've done a lot of dirt work. It's been 2 years now. We've been in the house, and still ever so often, and going across the property and mowing the grass and just looking at things, there'll be another old root, hallelujah, some way or another that I missed, and it's gnarled and it's twisted and it's sticking up, and I'll stop and try to dig it out and try to pull it out, it's just a wrinkled leftover of a plant. Hallelujah. Compare that root with a beautiful rose, and you'd look at a root and you would say, you know, there's nothing to that. And the Bible says that's the way it was with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and their idea of a king is Pharaoh that sits on the throne, hallelujah, he's got his headgear on, and his body is oiled, and he's got the finery of all kinds of silks to wrap his body in, and everybody looks at the great kings of this earth. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ was nothing to be compared to the kings of this world. The Bible says that he had no form of comeliness. There was nothing about him that was beautiful. I don't know what all that's trying to imply to us. Maybe his hands, his fingers was a little twisted, and his fingernails were not manicured, and he had the hands of a carpenter for the first 30 years of his life. He worked in a carpenter shop. Maybe there was a part of him that was a little misformed, and maybe his arms were a little short for his body, or maybe one shoulder was a little higher than the other. He was not the young man that the girls at youth camp would pick out of the crowd and say, you know, I'm really impressed with that young man. If Jesus Christ would have been in this building tonight, he's not the kind of man that you would pick out of the crowd. Hallelujah. The Bible goes on to tell us there was no beauty that we would desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our face from him. We had not been in the state of Georgia very long, taking the church in Buford, and my wife and I was driving around a large lake that's there in the area, and different campsites, and we pulled down in a little area that had a little turnaround, and we looked, and there was a blonde-headed woman that was there working around a trash bin. And she had beautiful blonde hair, and she had the uniform on. We could tell that she was a part of the park service. And we had to make a turnaround right there. And as we began to turn around to go back out, she turned her face and looked at us. And both of us were so shocked. I saw a face that was so deformed. I don't know if I've ever seen a human face so twisted and so deformed. And to look at her, she did not look like a human being. I don't know exactly what we saw. It was so shocking. But the first thing I wanted to do was hide my face. I felt like to look at her would be to embarrass her. And I turned my face because of how she was so uncomely, and she was so twisted, and she was so deformed. in her features. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, there was no man that was ever so marred as the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Here he was. He was despised and rejected of men. Hallelujah. Man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Hallelujah, Jesus, why in the world would you put yourself at such a disadvantage? Why would you come to the world to reveal yourself to the world as the one that had created the universe, the one that had come to live and die and to love and to give? And yet, you would put yourself in such a position. You could have came and have been tall and broad shoulders, and you could have carried yourself in a way when people instantly saw you, they would recognize that you was of a royal seed. There was something different about you. There was a perfection about every feature of your face and the physique of your body. Hallelujah. Maybe you would have been like the king when he looked at the children. Hallelujah. Daniel and the three Hebrew children, and he recognized there was something kingly about them. When Joseph and his brothers, when his brothers came into Egypt, hallelujah, the Pharaoh recognized there was something different about these boys, but not with Jesus Christ. He came and he was misshaped, and he came and he had an ugly covering in it. He came and there was nothing desirable about him. There was nothing beautiful about him. Hallelujah. What are we seeing in God when we look at Jesus Christ? We are seeing exactly what God wanted the world to see. Hallelujah. What we see when we see the man that was marred and he was misshaped and he looked a little different, and there was nothing that we liked, no way he looked that we would desire him. Hallelujah. What we are seeing is the humanity and the ugliness of what sin has done to mankind. Jesus came in that form to show the world, hallelujah, what sin had done to the human race. The ugliness of sin. He did not want men to be attracted to him because he was powerful or beautiful or handsome. Not because he had the right muscle tone or he was the sharpest mind in the crowd. Hallelujah. Oh, he came and he showed the world exactly what he wanted the world to see. I want you to hear me tonight. The world, they look at the church and they look at what's going on here tonight. And what we think is so wonderful and beautiful, and what we've enjoyed this week, the world, they look at what's going on around here, and it's not very appealing. When the world looks at our buildings that we erect, and hallelujah, so many times our building doesn't have that appeal, that public appeal, that appeal that causes people to say, you know, I'd like to go to church there. I'd like to be a member of that congregation. Hallelujah. The most beautiful Pentecostal churches in our world today cannot compare, hallelujah, to cathedrals like the Cologne Cathedral or the Vatican. Hallelujah. So much of the world, they look at these institutions and the handiwork, and they want to go sit in a beautiful place with stained glass windows and watch the sun stream through the glasses and the windows, and then they get some kind of spiritual high out of that. Hallelujah. And that's what they look for. But there's something about the little storefront Pentecostal church that the man of God's trying to dig out a work for God. And hallelujah, he doesn't have all of that that appeals to, hallelujah, the city council and the up and up people of his city. Hallelujah, it's just a little rented storefront. And it's kind of like the story, I think, Brother Goddard told of how that he was starting a church in Missouri. And he was out trying to paint a sign. And he was trying to get the doors open. This is the first Pentecostal church. Hallelujah. some street guy, I think it was, with not all of his marbles in his pocket, came by and looked at that and just kind of made fun and said, "Oh, so this is the house God lives in. So you're going to start a church here." Hallelujah. You look at some of the members. Hallelujah. Oh, we try to get dressed up and try to look just right. But oh, some of the members. Hallelujah. Some of us, our nose is too long. Some of us are pot-bellied. Some of us, we get our ties all crooked and we get all sweaty. Hallelujah. The world looks at Pentecostal folks and says, "Oh, that poor, pitiful bunch." Hallelujah. And they don't, all they can see is just common people and some simple people and just ordinary people. People working every day on a job just trying to pay their bills and keep the lights on and hallelujah, keep a little food on the table and hallelujah, oh, they're so silly. They're all excited about God. They're all excited about some kind of stupid tongue-talking experience. And oh, they don't go to the first church, hallelujah, downtown. They go to some run-down old building that they try to keep clean and they try to get it to look good. But hallelujah, when they're all said and done, there's not really anything desirable. There's not really anything comely that the world with their human intellect and their carnal perspective, hallelujah, there's nothing that impresses them. Oh, but you'd be amazed to know the kind of houses that God chooses to live in. You'd be amazed to know some of the pitiful, pitiful people that God says, "I'm going to house my glory in that little girl, in that boy, and in that young man." Hallelujah, in that just twisted, tore apart piece of a human being that's left. Hallelujah, the world may still criticize them. They still got scars of sin and a rough life of living on the streets and hallelujah, living a life of an alcoholic. Oh, but the God of glory says, "I don't care what the world says. I'm not trying to impress the world in general. Hallelujah, I'm going to make my abode in their house." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I know there's still a lot of badger skin. Hallelujah. Some of us are just struggling to try to live for God and make it. And sometimes we're not the best example that we ought to be. Hallelujah. But oh, I'm glad that God, hallelujah, God, hallelujah, He chose to house Himself in badger skin. I think of a little lady in our church. I won't go into all the details, but what a pitiful life. She was so broken when she came to us. She lived close to the church. An emotional wreck. And every time you met her, you just didn't know how you was going to find her. And this was after she got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. She told me her story one time of her mother getting excited and caught up in a man and kind of just discarded her at about the age of 10 years old. She was living on the streets of New York City, sleeping on sidewalks, sleeping in little cubby holes where she could find a place to try to hide. Hallelujah, people coming by and taking advantage of her physically, abusing her, eating out of garbage cans. And then she ended up, when she got a little older, taken to an island. And for about 5 or 6 years, like a slave on that island, being taken advantage of. And I don't know what all happened to her life, but she wandered in a Pentecostal church. And when much of the world would have given up on her and said, "It's nothing but an old shack that needs to be bulldozed down," she's gone too far for human help to help her. Hallelujah. God said, I'm going to wrap myself in badger skin all over again. Hallelujah. She tried to open a coffee shop right there by the church. And
And we helped her financially in trying to do that and getting it going. And she does have amazing talent and ability. But in those first months and years of her living for God, she struggled so much with the broken pieces of her life and trying to get past her past. And if something went wrong, she immediately blamed herself. She hated herself. She degraded herself. And I remember one day I was called. I needed to go try to help her. Hallelujah. Something had gone wrong in the business, and she had taken a skillet and she had just bashed herself in the face time and time again until the blood was running down. But I want to tell you, God didn't leave her. God didn't leave her. Hallelujah. It was a house that God had chosen to live in. A house that God had chosen to live in. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I thank God for what's in this place tonight. Hallelujah. There's some religious conventions that they wouldn't want to house their convention in this place, and we're thankful for it. Hallelujah. It'd have to be just right, and everything would have to be just perfect. But oh, they don't understand what has visited us this week. Hallelujah, amidst the commonness and amidst the badger skin. And hallelujah, God has come and touched the broken lives of young people. Young people that are struggling with things in their life that they've done and mistakes that they've made. And the devil, hallelujah, in the past has told you over and over again, God can't love you. God doesn't love you. You might as well go ahead and forget it. Hallelujah, you're just a broken toy that's no use to anybody. But I've come to preach to you tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, there's something beyond the ugliness. There's something on the other side of ugly. Hallelujah. There's a glory and a power of God that's working in the broken lives of boys and girls and men and women. Hallelujah. 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 And one day there was some men that came, hallelujah, to church, and they were wanting something. They were hungry, and they came to the disciples, and the disciples tried to help them and satisfy the longing in their heart. And they said, oh no, we haven't come to see you. We have come to see Jesus. Hallelujah, Pentecost, if we're not careful, we're going to enter into a dimension where we start trying to get accepted with the world. And we've got to build our builders to where we just blow their minds that we're now on the right side of the tracks. And hallelujah, look at the thousands we're going to spend on this and the millions we're going to spend on that. And when people come in here, they're going to know that we're the children of God. Oh, we're going to dress just right, and we're going to have our hair just right, and everything's going to be just in place, and we're not going to have any room for the downcast and the broken people of the streets. And hallelujah, they may mess up our sanctuary, they may spot and stain our carpets and our pews. Hallelujah, but oh, I want to tell you what makes Pentecost different from any other church in the world. Hallelujah, it's what's on the other side of ugly. It's what's on the other side of the common things that don't appeal to the human eye. Of men and women. Hallelujah. There's no sense in us trying to streamline this. Hallelujah. Try to be some kind of television personality. And hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what's happening. Hallelujah. Right in the state of Texas. Hallelujah. A preacher told his congregation, I'm sorry, it was in Mississippi. Hallelujah. We're not going to speak in tongues anymore outwardly. Hallelujah. Because that's going to offend some folks. Hallelujah. Don't speak in tongues when you're on the platform. The cameras are rolling. Hallelujah. We're going to make this thing beautiful. We're going to be something Jesus Christ never could be. The first thing they're going to see
Hallelujah is the fancy equipment around here. And the talent and the ability that we have. And the designer clothes that we're wearing. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not preaching against a beautiful building. I am preaching against allowing the things that the human eye see to be the focal point of what we're all about. Oh, I got something living inside of me. Hallelujah. That's the beautiful side of earthly. Hallelujah. I've got something inside of me that's more valuable than anything you can see on the outside. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This old church has still got some badger skin. There's some things we're not going to change as far as standards is concerned. There's some things you can forget explaining to the world what it's all about. They'll never see it. They'll never recognize it. They'll never appreciate it. But I'm going to tell you, we're not going to change it. I said, we're not going to change it. God did not come to the world, hallelujah, to impress a bunch of shallow, superficial religious people that was hungry for nothing but their own position and what they wanted out of life. Hallelujah, He came to a world that was down, a world that was hungry, a world that was sick of sin. And He came in the person of Jesus Christ and housed Himself in a body that was so deformed and twisted that it testified to what sin had done to the human race. Hallelujah. We want to see Jesus. The reason we've come is we want to see Jesus. We're not here to see the disciples. Hallelujah. We're not to see how pretty you are or the latest suit that you have on. Hallelujah. We want to see what's behind the reason for you people being so excited. We want to know what it is that causes poor, pitiful people that can't even go to a cold drink machine and buy a Coke to dance and shout and have a big smile on their face. What causes people to have a terminal disease and cancer is eating their life away to lift their hands and praise God? We want to see Jesus. We don't want to see the preacher. We want to see Jesus. That's who we need to be introduced to. Hallelujah. We need to be introduced to the glory that's behind the badger skin. Hallelujah. You know, as strange as it may seem, sometimes we, as God's people, get to the place that all we can see in the church is the badger skin. And I'll tell you this, the longer you're in the church, if you're not careful, the more badger skin you'll see. Hallelujah. I don't think Brother Martin would mind me saying this, but he told me the story. He said years ago, he called Brother Ike Terry and said, Brother Terry, said, you got a word from God for me? Yeah, I got a word for you. The longer you live, the bigger mess you're going to make. I'm just going to personally say, it kind of made me mad when I heard that. But you know, it took me a long time, and I feel like I know what he's talking about. Hallelujah. The longer you live, the bigger mess you're going to make. I want to tell you, a church can't do anything without making a mess. Hallelujah. You can have the stall empty. Hallelujah. And then you keep the stall clean. But when you start having a revival, you're going to have a mess. You're going to have badger skin. You're going to have things that even the Pentecostals don't. It's just not very appealing. You're going to have all kinds of characters sitting on your pews. Just because they get the Holy Ghost, they're not going to automatically. It's going to take some time working through some things. There's some things you got to learn after you get the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus Christ
broke the loaves and the fish and began to feed the thousands. And he fed the thousands, 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. And hallelujah, it was a glorious day that day. And they thought church was over. And the disciples was ready to head back off the mountain. And Jesus said, wait just a minute. Hallelujah, I want you to gather up the fragments. Hallelujah, that nothing be lost. It was a glorious miracle. It was a glorious thing to see the fish multiplying and the food multiplying and all that business and everybody eating. But I want to tell you, when it was over with, there was probably an unbelievable mess on the top of that mountain. Broken pieces all over, just broken and just laying everywhere. And Jesus said, we're not going to get through with church until everything that's been in my hands is cleaned up. You see, these broken pieces, they may look like badger skin. They may look like useless things that don't amount to nothing. But every piece of bread that's laying on the ground and every bit of fish that's laying on the ground has my fingerprints on it. It's got my hand. Has it been in my hands? I want you to gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. You know, the longer you stay with the church, the more badger skin you see. The more the outside you see. Hallelujah. That's just the way it is. I get amused sometimes when people come to our church and they think we've got a perfect church. Oh, this is just so wonderful. Everybody's just so on fire for God and living for God. I leaned over and told the elder tonight, I just tell you, y'all got something going here in California, and I do believe that. I believe you got something tremendously going. All these kids running the aisles and worshiping God and praising God. It must be something to pastor a church that you never have any trouble. I'm just going to tell you, you folks have impressed me. It makes me want to go home and pray through. Except I've been around long enough. And the longer you're around, the bigger mess that you make. And the bigger mess that you see around you. And you look over at that fella that's always jumping and hollering and screaming, and you know his faults. And you know what he'd done a few weeks ago. Hallelujah. And he's just struggling with some things. And you know, I go through these cycles. I got the family here from my church. I don't want to say too much, but I go through these cycles where I think I've got the greatest church in all the world and they're just angels and I just want to sit down and cry. I watch them singing in the cloud. I think of where they came from. Some of those times when I feel like that, my wife feels like killing them. Hallelujah. And then we change sides and boy, she just, and I feel like killing them. Hallelujah. I tell you what some people do when they stay around for a little while and they see the humanity. They think it's time to change churches. Some people make a career out of that, changing churches. Go from one church to another church. And they get to that new church and all they can do is say, oh, this is such a beautiful place. You folks don't know where I came from. They always want to throw that in. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to get beyond ugly. You need to get on the other side of ugly. You're just too holy for God. You're just too high and mighty for God. When you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and you start reading about the heroes of faith, and then you start running a background check on them. Hallelujah. So some of us wouldn't even want them in our church. But I want to tell you what God said. God said, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. They're my kids. They're my children. And they still have faith in what's on the other side of ugly. And because they still have faith, hallelujah, by faith. By faith, by faith. What do you got to do? You got to keep on believing that in the midst of all the ugliness of life, there's something on the other side of ugly. Hallelujah, there's a saving power on the other side of human frailty.
You'd be amazed in some of the houses God lives in. Hallelujah. We want to look at the man and not look at what's on the other side of ugly. When a man came to the priest and he had committed a sin, he went and found a perfect sacrifice. The key was a perfect sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice. And that poor man, maybe with his head down, and he's so ashamed of what he's done, he carries that lamb and presents it to the high priest. He's committed a terrible sin. The high priest gets down on his knees and he starts running his hands over that lamb. He's checking his bone structure. He's making sure there's not a bone broken or out of shape, out of place. He's checking for anything that would mar that lamb. Matthew Henry says there's over 50 tests that a lamb had to pass before that lamb could be sacrificed. But all during the time that he's doing that, he never looks up at ugly. All he does is looks at the lamb. It's all contingent on the lamb. We're not here because we're good. We're here because He's good. We're not here because of what we've done. We're here because of what He did. Now what He does enables us to do what we need to do. But I want to tell you, we didn't get that because we were beautiful. We didn't get that because we were comely and we were appealing and there was something beautiful about us. You see, we came from a long line of deformed people. Does anybody hear me tonight? Let me just tell you a little bit about sin. Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. We saw something quite interesting here in California. Driving down the interstate, a big sign with a wild-eyed guy like this. And his wife standing there looking like she's... don't have a full deck. And it said something about Adam and Eve. It's a movie that they've come out with. I want to tell you, Adam didn't look like that guy and Eve didn't look like that woman either. You talk about beautiful. Adam and Eve was created in the garden, and there was nothing as much as the tiniest scratch of a scar to deface their complexion. God had so created them that they were beautiful to look upon. He was a handsome man, and she was a beautiful woman. Hallelujah. That's the reason when he saw her, he said, "Whoa, man." Hallelujah. Their complexion radiated the glory of God. Their ears wasn't too big and their nose wasn't crooked. There was nothing a little out of shape. Every part of their body was perfectly formed. God had created them. He had made a lot of other things and He said, "It is good, it is good." The man, when He made man and He made woman, He said, "It is very good." And when God says something's good, and then He says it's very good, He felt so good about what He made that day by day He would come in the cool of the evening. And he'd sit down and he'd talk to them and he'd communicate with them. They were brilliant. No, we're not a product of the evolutionary process. We're not getting better and better. Look at the person sitting by you. We're getting worse and worse. Hallelujah. Most of us are getting fatter and fatter and fatter. It's all these growth hormones they're putting in the food. It's not because I love to eat. Hallelujah. I'm a victim
of the food industry.
Hallelujah. So beautiful. God had made them so perfect. But something terrible happened in that garden when the devil comes slithering up by that tree. Now, they didn't have any business being around that tree. All these trees in the Garden of Eden, and they spend their time around the tree that was off limits. I think both of them were there because Eve, when she'd done what she did, she didn't have to go looking for Adam. He was there. That's what some young people do. They spend all their time around the wrong tree. Getting a haircut in the wrong barbershop. Just always pushing the envelope. All those trees with all the fruits and the vegetables and they could have been eaten and enjoyed all these things and they're hanging around the forbidden tree. And they're listening to the devil as he starts spinning a story. And they take of the forbidden fruit and their eyes are opened and the glorious radiant light of their countenance goes out. Anybody ever seen what sin does to the countenance? I can tell it when young people come in a lot of times and it's all over their face. Just like Cain, as she's written over their countenance. Something happened. The lights went out. When God came to talk to His creation, He didn't find them in the commonplace. They had went to try to find a hiding place, but there is no hiding place. Hallelujah. They went to try to hide the deformity and the scar, the wound that sin had caused in their life. Oh, the Apostle Paul said, sin that it might appear as sin, working death in me by that which is good. That sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Oh, sin that it might appear as sin. What he was saying was, when you look at sin, it's not the way it really is. It's the opposite of what I'm preaching about. It looks beautiful and it looks appealing. And it's like a Jezebel that paints her face and tries to cover her ugliness. Sin that it might appear as the Apostle Paul's trying to come up with an adjective. This brilliant man. Sin that it might appear as. Somebody said, why didn't he say? Sin that it might appear as the devil, because sin's worse than the devil. Sin so scarred Lucifer. An angel, a glittering angel. Of light and beauty turned him into the devil. And so sin began to deface them. The beautiful countenance, the beautiful complexion, the sweet attitude, the glorious stamp of God's blessing on their lives. It's gone. But I want to tell you, that's just the beginning. You can follow the trail of tears, the pathway of sorrow, broken lives and homes, people ravaged and torn and wounded by sin, all the way to the apex of this man called Jesus coming. Ugly. Ugly. Misshaped. And then the ultimate of it was when they took him and they tied him to a whipping post and they broke the cat of nine tails down on his back until his back was torn and blood was running like rivers down his back and down his legs and forming in puddles at his feet until it is said that he looked more like a beast than he did a man. And all of that was a picture, young person, of what sin does. Jesus, why can you hang there? Jesus, why don't you call 10,000 angels when they laugh and make fun and blaspheme and spit in your face? Why do you drink the cup that represented all the sins of humanity from the beginning to the end of the world? You talk about a man misshaped. Why did you do it? Because I look beyond the cup. There was something on the other side of ugly. And that's what we have here tonight. Hallelujah. That's what God has allowed us to taste.
Some of you was mighty ugly when you came to God. Mighty misshaped. Your mind twisted. Your desires perverted. Nothing to be desired. God said, that's what I specialize in. I specialize in taking the ugly and wrapping it. Hallelujah. Around something beautiful and powerful, glorious. I know I've got to quit. And I am going to quit in just a little bit. I see a legion among the tombs. Somewhere he was a mother's darling, a baby that a mother had rocked and loved. I looked at Michael Jackson's picture as a young boy. And then the pictures of how he digressed. With all of his money trying to look better, he was looking worse and worse and worse and worse until he did not look human. To look at him, he didn't look human. He was so marred. His countenance. Somewhere he was a mother's baby. A child that a mom had rocked and loved and sang lullabies to and talked about the days that he'd be a man. And I love you and I'm going to be proud of you. Somewhere in Legion's life, started out with something small, something little, something that he might have played with, just a little trifling sin that he thought he could handle. A bad habit that his parents warned him about, but I've got control. I'll have it my way. And it got worse and worse and worse until he wakes up driven and addicted and possessed. He's so bad society. He's too ugly for society. And they throw him out and he lives among the dead. He haunts their villages at night. He howls and screams and he will not suffer anybody to pass that road where the cemetery is. He's more beast than he is human being. I want to warn young people, we're headed toward a generation that's going to be more demonic than they are human being. In fact, we're already there with a lot of people. I've just got to say this. Listen to me. One of the scariest verses I find in all the Bible is in the book of Revelation where it talks about the wrath of God being poured out without mixture. I want to tell you, God turns the lights out. People are covered with boils from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. It's darkness and it's chaos and they're tormented. But the Bible says, yet they would not repent of their adultery, of their idolatry, of their worship of devils. They were beyond repentance. The human side of them was crying out for relief. But the demonic side of them, they were more demon than they were human being. And they refused to repent. They refused to change their life. And that's where the world's headed. You talk about ugliness. I'm going to tell you, you're living in a twisted state. The state of California. You young people, you better keep your eyes on what's beautiful. And get your eyes off of what's ugly. You may think some of the standards are ugly. You may think the sacrifices you think you have to make is ugly. You may think having a prayer life and taking time to live right and tell the truth and do right is ugly. Being ostracized and all of that business. Oh no, I'm going to tell you the world's headed to hell. The world is marching to hell. This generation, hallelujah, with their tattoos and with their piercing and they're just deforming themselves. And they're calling it beautiful. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's all stand tonight. All the ugliness in this legion's life, thank God for a man that was acquainted with ugliness, that saw something on the other side of ugly. Hallelujah. He looked at a man that society had thrown out that was so twisted and spent. And he saw a soul winner. He saw a testimony that he'd leave behind when he went from the coast and say, let me tell you something, buddy. You just stay home and be a witness. Go back home and let the light shine. Young people, let's do that. Let's have revival in the state of California like we've never had revival. Get past the ugliness in your life. Accept the forgiveness of God. You'll never get good enough for God to accept you. Or for you to be good enough that you desire God to accept you. Hallelujah. Cover that ugliness with the blood. Hallelujah. And get on the sunny side of life. Hallelujah. There's another side of ugly tonight. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be a soul winner. A woman in a well that had five husbands, and the man she was living with was not her husband. Jesus looked beyond the scars of prostitution and said, you know what? You're a woman I want to invest in. I got water that if you'll drink of it, you'll never thirst again. But it will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I'll take something ugly and I'll make something beautiful out of it. Hallelujah. I'm looking for some people to step out from where you're standing tonight. Hallelujah. And say, hey, I'm going to get on the other side of ugly. I'm going to get beyond the badger skin. I'm going to get in that place where the glory is hovering. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The beautiful furniture. The golden winged angels. Hallelujah, I'm going to go home and live for God. Hallelujah, I'm not going to sit around the church and just look at the badger skin and be critical and try to hold people to their past. I'm going to remember that we've all been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. God enables us to live a clean and a holy life. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.